Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. In Odyssey Station. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Big Issues, big guest. Azra Nomani is a former, well, she's still a current writer of books. Formerly, though, last time we talked with her, the Wall Street Journal. And she is in one of those hot button, those two counties, maybe there's more in Virginia, that are kind of the canary in the mine. If it happens in Loudoun or Fairfax now, they are some of the most recent is this Muslim school board member in Fairfax County making national news, going off in a graduation. We'll talk with her about that. And also where she is, on the other side, there was this woman who suffered through Mao in China and made the case that what she's seeing here in the United States is reminiscent of that. Okay, we have a student at Columbia University who fled North Korea. Dan's trying to get her on. You may have seen her on Fox. I mean, sold into slavery, having to go across the Gobi Desert, having to go across frozen lakes, escaping North Korea into China, somehow or another into South Korea, then to Columbia. And she just tells someone there in the orientation she likes Jane Austen, thinking that would be an icebreaker. And the woman, I think one of the leaders, gives her this lecture of colonization and privilege and all the rest of it. What? To somebody who escaped North Korea? Yes, they're out of control. So the last time Azra was with us, and it's a great day to have her on because this matter of Asian students saying, you know what, Harvard, Yale, other prestigious universities, if we're the best based upon the criteria that are set up, why are you trying to keep us out of your colleges? Why are you discriminating against us? And the answer is, well, they are. They're the ones provoking. It's one thing to yell an epithet. Bad. It's another, though, to block someone's progress at the highest level. But that's exactly what they're doing. And the Supreme Court punted on it yesterday for now. All right, all that as a setup. Let's talk with Azra Nomani, who was our guest, too, with two other women on that big speaker series a few weeks back. She's with us in Philadelphia. Azra, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And I neglected to mention your vice president of Parents Defending Education there in Loudoun County.
Oh, great to talk to you. I'm actually in Fairfax County, but it's all one big hot mess. So it's all very... Okay. Very, very ground zero in this battle. So great to talk to you, Dom.
Well, thank you, Azra. And it seems to be you have this combination that has turned toxic of a lot of resources, high pay and all that stuff, a lot of affluence, and then just the most insidious form of critical race theory and a bunch of other things going on that are unparalleled in the country. And what I like, though, it plays into today's news. You have any number of students who happen to be Asian and the like who are told that last time you were on, You actually threw that phrase out. I had heard before, but it rang very true with you. The Asian students and parents are very troublesome to the progressive movement to do this because they're called white adjacent. They have to take away the hard work, and in the case of this Columbia student that I mentioned, just the mind-boggling thing that people did to get freedom and an education. They have to diminish it and make this minority not on the same level as the other so-called protected minorities.
Oh, yeah. It's just such a tragedy. You know, I was in a car full of students from my son's high school, Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. And these kids are hardworking. They just are our next scientists and engineers and physicians and inventors. And they keep quiet about all of this, assault that they're now facing. But in their homes, they carry the stories of perseverance and resilience. They hear from their parents about coming from China, which is dollars in their pockets, working hours upon hours with multiple jobs to make it in America. One kid, his parents come from Eastern Europe. You know, this is what America has always been about, and that's what this battle is today about. But meanwhile, we have my fellow journalists in the media that want to just dismiss these sincere parents with this narrative that it's a right-wing conspiracy that's trying to dismantle critical race theory in America. But I can tell you that I'm one of those parents, and I know so many of them. They write to us every day at Parents Defending Education, and they are honest, sincere parents who are just so afraid of this indoctrination, and they really should be, because like you said, it's a lot of money that's now trying to literally transform our schools and school systems while they can do it.
And the school that your son goes to, listeners should know, has been rated many times, in the top two or three, but many times number one, and they want to take away all the criteria that are objective to be in said school and blossom. I mean, that's the first thing that's done. We don't do that in sports or anything else, but when it comes to education, how is it these Asian parents then, how do they spin the narrative to say that they have an advantage that's built on some kind of supremacy? It can't. That's why there's such a problem to these people.
Yeah, they get into grievance Olympics, and they get into this competition of whose oppression was worse than the others. And, you know, my dad, he just celebrated his 88th birthday yesterday, and he walked me through his childhood under the British colonials that were literally white supremacists, right, in India. And yet my father came to this country just like our Chinese American parents, believing in America, you know, believing in this nation as a place where folks can work hard and move forward. And I got to tell you that my son, he just graduated last weekend, and we sat there while we were lectured again about our so-called privilege. But the principal, who happens to be white, a woman by the name of Anne Bonitatibus, stood there and she said, "I declare you graduates of the number one high school in America." We were rated again number one by U.S. News and World Report. And it was one of those dads, a Chinese American dad, who yelled back from the bleachers and said, "Keep it that way."
Well, she has pride in that. She has pride in that when she gets revved up to say it. But it's not prideful, because that strikes one as privilege. And Azra, you know, these people walking around all day long, it's an argument against themselves. I don't know how they can articulate a sentence, because they're conflicted, because this stuff is not logical in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's all shame-based, ultimately. Yeah. Like the one defining factor from the East Coast to the West Coast and Virginia here in between is that it's white liberals, largely, who are shamed into just this complicity with a new racism in America today, a new bigotry. And I see it all the time now from the reports that we get from parents, you know, from your Pennsylvania school districts to Oregon school districts. I know more school districts now than I could have ever imagined I'd learn. You know, more of these superintendents' names, but is top down. And you know, just this morning, I was listening to the Equity Summit of Virginia Department of Education. Ralph Northam, the governor, sanctioned the great work of the education secretary. And what it is a network of these folks from the state house to the school board that are working together. And you brought up the case of the school board member, Abra Ramesh, in Fairfax County. She just lectured us about the white supremacy in America. She lectured these beautiful young graduates about it. And she is a darling of the Islamists, the Muslims in my community who want political Islam. And they are working together now with these leftists that are really using critical race theory to hijack our schools and our school systems. And it's really dangerous. You know, as a Muslim, I have stood up against them for 20 years on their extremism. I could never have imagined they would bring it to the schools like they are today. But that's why everybody needs to pay attention, because it's not just reading and writing they're going after. They're going after the history and the way that we relate to each other.
And you've been a few times, at least I know, on the Bill Maher show. Last time you were on, we mentioned that. And, you know, get along great with him. He's been one of the voices. I don't think he's said it in exactly the way that you have, maybe. But given everything, he is a guy that is an influencer and I think has some power in this. And he gets emboldened a little bit more each week about how weak this stuff is. Yeah, last week we played a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And look at, you know, James Carville, the Democratic political operative of many years, right? And he called out the wokeness that is now hijacking the Democratic Party and causing so much distress for the centrist Democrats. But here he is now weighing in to support Terry McAuliffe for Virginia governor and saying, you know, that this issue of critical race theory is just a right-wing conspiracy. That's what Terry McAuliffe is saying.
Well, and look, you know, without putting too fine of a point on it, Azra, that's why people like you and the diversity of this, the woman who lived through Mao in China, you are a kryptonite to them because, you know, they just cannot spin it that way. I don't know who came up with that phraseology, that offensive phraseology that Asian Americans then are white adjacent. It's just amazing what they have to do to keep this going. Not only is it pernicious, but it just breaks down so easily. It's just through force and indoctrination that they're able to do this.
Right. And the thing that they don't know about us, because, you know, many of them think that the lever of shame can be used to silence, is that we are shameless in our defense of America.
And exactly. We have McAuliffe, Azra. I wanted to play that for listeners, then get your reaction. Here's Terry McAuliffe. Listeners know him, Clinton Easta, and former head of the DNC and governor of Virginia. Here's what he said about this right-wing conspiracy of critical race theory.
With all the Republicans are talking about, like, critical race theory, and they're making this huge deal about it, and it's all the conversation in the news of Virginia. Like, what are you going to say to all those people making education about that?
That's another right-wing conspiracy.
Okay.
This is totally made up by Donald Trump and Glenn Youngkin. This is who they are. It's a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And you know what people want to know about? Why are we not paying our teachers? Why are we down 1,000 teachers today? Why? And why are 50% of our schools 50 years old? This is what people want to know about. So let's pay our teachers. Let's get our children access to broadband. Let's make sure we get at-risk children taken care of with pre-K. Those are what the Virginians care about.
I remember, Azra, Bill Clinton and McAuliffe learned that well, would say something along the lines, when you asked a question that people really cared about, did that get one more person to have health care? Did that get one more person a job? This is what they do. They're trying to tell people, again, you can't be interested in it. And what's happening, organizations like yours and the other women that you were with, it astounds me how much information is happening right here in the Philadelphia area of people going to school board meetings, running for them, armed with this stuff. And when we see people like you and this woman who lived under Mao speaking out, it's impossible for them to push back on this.
Well, they will push back. They do. They make our lives hell. I get raging headaches, you know, going in circles with these school board members and officials. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be persistent because this is an existential threat on America. And you have to know that the consequence will be the surrender of this nation. And so with that clarity of mind and purpose, there is no answer that they can give us that we cannot pursue fully to so that we get the right answers. Like these parents, I just loved the story of them trying to tell the school district there in your Pennsylvania area for the contract, for the consultant that they've hired to bring in this, quote, diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yes.
You know, ask the question, demand it, because these are taxpayer dollars. And with the Freedom of Information Act and public records requests, they are obligated by law to give you answers. That
well
is
put.
The difference between here and China.
Exactly.
And
right,
so
Azra, thank you so much,
right,
as always. Now, where do people find Parents Defending Education? Where do they go?
Find us at defendinged.org. Send us your reports. We have a beautiful map that we call Indoctrination, where we're documenting school district by school district the incidents that we see, that you report, and we're chasing down answers. And so we will work side by side with you as parents and community members. So you are not alone, and we will always stand with courage and encourage you to be courageous also.
Azra, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Oh, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you for keeping everything alive and staying so vigilant.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.